former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is hour number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. And joining us in studio to kick off this hour number two, it's our friend, VSiN betting analyst, Danielle Alvari. Danielle, we appreciate you waking up with us this morning.
Oh, I'm not a morning person. So this is a big deal. It's a very big deal.
Well, we appreciate it. I mean, we were talking about it to start the show. Your UCLA Bruins last night
in the NCAA tournament.
They hang on to beat Northwestern 68-63. Got a little dicey there. How are you feeling now they're heading to the Sweet 16?
I really hope, obviously, that they can take this time off and recover, and it seems like that's what they're going to focus on. When they asked him, how are you going to celebrate, they said, team film session and recovery, which is exactly what David Singleton's ankle is going to need. I'm hearing it's mostly a sprain, so he was walking on it after, so at least that is something. But it's just like you, I think you tweeted about this, Femi, is they're going to run out of bodies at this point. I mean, luckily, Adem Bona was able to go in that game. He looked okay, his shoulder, he was able to raise his arm, everything looks good there, made some great blocks, but Jalen Clark already out, Adem with an injury. Now we have hobbling, you know, David Singleton. And so what the UCLA team has been able to do with switching out so much personnel, when really Coach Cronin was playing 6 to 7 guys most of his rotation this year, and all of a sudden the entire bench is seeing time. So really incredible what they've been able to do so far. I think, honestly, that if the winner of Gonzaga-TCU ends up being Gonzaga, that's going to be the bigger challenge for UCLA here.
But you got to really, like, when I look at when they hired Mick Cronin, I'm like, boy, this just didn't fit, right? Like, that just doesn't seem like, but his team's mentally tough, and they've adapted this kind of, they've destroyed this mythology about California's softness, and they really are a tough-minded team that seems to be willing to kind of endure and overcome this stuff, don't you feel?
Absolutely, and I agree with you. I thought it was an interesting hire, but I was very excited because I thought, hey, we're going to have defense at UCLA again. What a treat. Getting Mick Cronin, obviously, from Cincinnati, and he just brings that Midwest toughness with him. And he's also so polite and respectful. It's funny to me because we have fans who sit behind him at the games, and he is known to have some profanity fly on occasion. And I thought it was shocking because when I met him, he was so polite, so nice every time I've talked to him. So he definitely has two sides to him. I think he does a great job with the media, too, which our football coach struggles with a little bit. So I do think that that's also been to his benefit, but he's done an incredible job of really getting them to buy into this program. And you can see it from every single person on this team, the fact that he can just switch guys in and the defensive intensity has not gone down.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm impressed by him. I think he's a great coach, and I think you see his coaching, especially last year, you know, he gets in the tournament and then all of a sudden, you know, it just takes over. So I'm really impressed by him. I think he's a great coach.
Yeah.
We're hanging out with Danielle Alvari, VSiN betting analyst, talking all things NCAA tournament here. We'll get your play in the women's tournament because you've been handicapping both of these, so we want to make sure we get that out there.
Hard.
I was going to say, no days off is what Belichick once said.
Well, I'm telling you what, when you know, there's one of the greatest handicappers of women's basketball was Al Davis. No one loved women's basketball more than Al Davis. He would watch that more than anything, and there's the reason why Mark Davis owns the Aces here in town is trying to have honoring his father in terms of that. So it's fun. It really is. It's a fun sport. I mean, I love it. I enjoy watching it.
And now the Aces have Candace Parker.
Yes.
So big things continue happening.
They have a super team. The Las Vegas Aces.
I'm going to come out when they play New York. I'm excited.
That's the matchup everybody wants to see. The West region, though, with UCLA has advanced to the Sweet 16. We were talking about Arkansas knocking off the number one seed, Kansas.
Thank you, Arkansas.
In most regions, I feel like that would be like, it opens wide open. But like, this is a difficult region with St. Mary's hovering around. UConn's really good. The metrics like them. Of course, the potential of Gonzaga or TCU. The Horned Frogs are pretty tough-minded as well. Are you feeling good about UCLA making it through to the Final Four in this region, given what's happened through the first 3 days of the tournament?
Gosh, if they weren't so banged up, obviously I'd be feeling a lot better. But I still just think of all the teams here, this team has so much experience in Tiger Campbell, Jaime Hawkins Jr. You just don't get seniors in college basketball as much as you'd like, especially at blue chip universities like UCLA. You get a lot of these one and done guys. I actually love, too, that Adem Bona is a freshman, but he buys in so much. We had senior night the other night at a UCLA game, and he almost looked like he was so joyful. And I was like, it makes me sad he's not going to get a senior night because he's too good. He'll be gone. But the entire team just has been incredible this year. So sorry, went off on a tangent there. But as far as the West region, I like UConn a lot. I liked them before the tournament even started. And I do like them in today's matchup versus St. Mary's. Now, to St. Mary's credit, I was on VCU plus four, and they showed me, definitely. And I do think that Randy Bennett's an incredible coach. He's done an incredible job with that program. And to his credit also, they asked him, well, how are you going to slow down this UConn offense? And he said, well, we have to play Gonzaga three times a year. So it's not like this is going to be something brand new to them. St. Mary's has an incredible defense, so I do think that's in their favor. But I just think this UConn team is going to overwhelm them on the offensive side. And this UConn team defense is pretty solid as well. St. Mary's is kind of a one-trick pony on the offensive side. So this was 3.5 last night. I took it because I was afraid this was going to move, and it has moved to 4.5. But do not fear, because it is March Madness. I had 4 live bets yesterday, and all of them hit. So do not be afraid to wait for a live number. The most nerve-wracking one, probably that Texas -1.5. Oof. I know some people were on the other side of that. But just waiting to see if you can get a good number in-game is always a good idea as well. And if you don't get the good number, to leave it alone.
And when you're in-game betting, are you looking at, like, are you doing halftime or are you doing first quarter? What's
your
strategy?
With March Madness, I'm usually doing full. Because, I mean, I get the motivation, you don't want to be down at half. But, I mean, I bet on a lot of teams that are down at the half but are really good at making those halftime adjustments. Kansas is a good example of that. And, again, I do think if they had Coach Self out there, perhaps a different outcome for them. I really think he's a cheat code as a coach. And, again, I look really closely at coaching. So, again, Randy Bennett's great for St. Mary's. Mark Few, trust him with my life, for Gonzaga. Mick Cronin's incredible. So really incredible coaching out in the West is what we have in this region.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you have really good teams. So the men's basketball tournament, that's been going on all throughout the day. You like UConn coming up later. Yeah. You also have the play in the women's tournament. You're looking at the under in South Dakota State and Virginia Tech.
Yeah, originally when I looked at this, I liked South Dakota State getting 9 points against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a 1 seed, but of all the 1 seeds in the women's tournament, it was my lowest ranked 1 seed, which maybe will come back to bite me later. But with that said, I checked in with my women's basketball bettors, who bets this even a lot more frequently than me because, frankly, he just has access to better lines. And he said, I love this under. And we looked at some things, and I said, I do love this under. I could see this game not going above 120, and it is set around 131. Both of these teams love to slow their opponents down, and these are really good defenses. So I think we could see the under 131 in this, no problem.
And in your brackets for the women, who do you have winning it all?
I have South Carolina winning it over Indiana.
You do? So you have the 1-2.
You're breaking Wes Reynolds' heart here.
Yeah.
I know. Well, Wes and I had the same final two, but he had Indiana winning. Bless his heart. Maybe. I don't know.
Don Staley, it seems like she has the thing rolling.
Who wants to
like,
bet against like, Don Staley?
I mean, well, they haven't lost. I mean, like, how would you bet against her?
Like, they seem like the new juggernaut in college basketball.
I think SEC teams are actually 6-1 through the first round for the women's tournament. I mean, Mississippi State advanced from the first four. Won their first game. They're moving on. They're playing today. I think they're only getting 6 points, and that's a compliment to them. I did look at that game, but I think that number's right on. So, again, maybe a live betting opportunity on them. But, yeah, SEC has been incredible.
What do you make of Iowa? Because they have the best player in the country, and Caitlin Clark. I mean, she's as exciting.
Oh, Aaliyah Boston would like
Yeah, hold on. I don't want Don Staley to come and find me. But Caitlin Clark, maybe she's the most exciting
prolific
player in college
basketball. Yeah.
Prolific shooter. I mean, like her game, she can pull up from 30 feet or whatever. Really fun to watch. I can see them as a 2 seed. A lot of people liking them just because they want to see her succeed. Do you think that they can make a run? Because I know last year they got bounced out earlier than we all expected.
Yeah, the issue for them over the last couple of years has been their defense. And I've been told, again, because there's people that are smarter than me that have been watching this longer than me, that the defense has steadily improved over the last 3 to 4 years. And so it's better than it was last year. It's still in that lower tier below average, and that's really their weakness, is they're going to try to out-offense you. And they've done it beautifully this year. They've had 100-point games. And to that point, people who perhaps don't love watching women's basketball, they don't think it's fast enough, they don't shoot enough three-pointers, they don't dunk, whatever your issue is, Iowa is the exception to that because Caitlin Clark is just phenomenal to watch. So if you are looking to get involved for the first time, that is a fun offense to watch, and they're able to put up a lot of points on you. But again, same as the men's side, I don't like to bet on teams that have to out-offense you.
How about Stanford versus Ole Miss this
week? Oh, yeah, 10.5, I think, last night. I'd love to see what it is now because I was thinking this was going to move overnight, and it looks like 12.5.
Yeah,
right.
That Stanford team's really obviously very good.
Yeah.
You know, and they continue to get better as the year went along. So, to me, I don't know if Ole Miss can match them.
Yeah, no, I understand it. Ole Miss and Stanford actually both took South Carolina to overtime earlier this year. So these are two teams that were able to figure out ways to slow South Carolina down, which is not terribly impossible if there's a weakness. If there's a weakness for South Carolina, it's their offensive side just because their defense is so dominant. So if you can get a team that can score a couple different ways, especially from outside, I don't think you want to go in and take it to Aaliyah Boston territory, then I think you have a chance here. I think Stanford's built to do that. And I've been saying this all week. I think Stanford is a team that's best built to combat South Carolina, even over Indiana, just because they have the size, they have the speed, they have maturity, and they've actually beat them in a championship game in the last 2 years in 2021. So Stanford here versus Ole Miss I thought was really interesting. I wanted to take the 10.5 with Ole Miss because I think Ole Miss's defense has been absolutely incredible, and Stanford has had some hiccups this year. So if they can get kind of a wrench in the mix of their offense, that would be interesting. But I did think this is going to move overnight. People are going to take the 10.5 in Stanford. They did. Maybe 12.5 is too high now, but maybe you get something live on Stanford if you're looking that way.
Before we let you get out of here, we got to wrap up the West region on the men's side of things.
Yeah.
UCLA is already into the Sweet 16. So is Arkansas. Mm-hmm. You like UConn to join them. Who joins them in the TCU-Gonzaga matchup? Right now, the Bulldogs laying four, total 153.
You know the answer to that, Femi.
Yeah.
She's got ties there, so I can't blame her. You know?
I know. It is house divided. My dad is like very much a Gonzaga fan and person, and I think if they end up playing UCLA in the Sweet 16 in Vegas next week, which I would love to be here for, but I have to be in New York for a DraftKings event. Heartbreaking. I think my dad will be here for that one for sure. So this will be house divided if it ends up being Gonzaga. I think it should be. From what I've seen from TCU, just have not completely come together. They had injuries this season, so I understand why. I still think a really scrappy, fiery team. I think I would rather have UCLA play TCU, and maybe I'm going to come to regret that later, but I think matchup-wise, I do think Odembona would match up really well with Drew Timmy on the Gonzaga side of things, so I think at least there would be that aspect. But Gonzaga, I mean, Strothers is playing his best basketball right now.
Yeah.
Their defense is a little bit improved actually from earlier in the season, so they are kind of hitting their best basketball. It is Gonzaga, it is March, so I think Gonzaga's advancing. I trust Mark Few here.
I mean, they made the Sweet
16. No pressure on Gonzaga this year, though. I think that's the key.
Yeah, they're playing
loose. There's no pressure on them. Like, nobody expects them to get there. Everybody expects them to pull, you know, like go through. Great job, Danielle's
never under the radar. She's always on the top of mind here. She is Danielle Alvari, VSiN betting analyst. Check her out there with the DraftKings starting five that's coming up later on next week. Danielle, we appreciate the time and safe travels.
Thank you, Femi and Michael.
All right, awesome stuff there from Danielle. We got Adam Burke joining us next to break down more March Madness here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. We just had Danielle Alvari in studio. Danielle.
Good to meet her.
Awesome. Yeah, it was the first time you met her, huh?
First time I met her. Yeah, it's great. Great job.
Yeah, we love having
Danielle. On top of that basketball stuff. She knows it now.
Yeah, she's handicapping the men's and the women's tournament there. So she likes UConn laying the 3.5, then also the South Dakota State Virginia Tech under in the women's tournament. So we wish Danielle the best of luck with all of her bets. Well, to get us more bets for the men's basketball tournament, we'll bring in our buddy, VSiN's own Adam Burke. You see him on air. You see his content on VSiN.com, and you can listen to him on the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. Adam, hope all is well this morning. And let's start off with the game that's going to tip off 2:15 West Coast time, 5:15 over on the East Coast. Sparty Party, Michigan State against Shaka and Marquette. Right now, the Golden Eagles laying 3, total 139.5. Do you think that Izzo continues this run, or does Shaka and those guys get him?
Yeah, I don't. I actually like Marquette in this game. I liked it a little bit more at 2.5 than I do at 3, you know, but look, it's NCAA tournament. You know, you've got a limited number of games. These lines are going to end up being pretty sharp here. But, you know, look, I mean, Marquette didn't force a lot of turnovers against Vermont, which is kind of their claim to fame. But their half-court defense looked really, really strong, I thought. So Michigan State, a team that doesn't get to the rim, settles for a lot of mid-range jumpers. They shoot 3 as well, but they generally don't take a whole lot of them. I just don't think this is a great matchup here for this Michigan State team, especially because Marquette gets to the rim at a very, very high rate. They're very efficient when they get inside and get those close twos. So I like Marquette here laying the three. Like I said, I took 2.5, but I think three is a pretty good bet as well.
Pitt Xavier, Sean Miller's hometown is Pittsburgh. You know, he's got a great love affair with the school, graduated. You know, so this is a big game for him. His Xavier team can score. Pitt can score. Who do you like in this game? And has the over-under gotten too high for you to take it?
You know, I do like Xavier in this game. And honestly, I got very, very close to playing this one. Didn't want to lay the five. If it was 3.5, 4, I would definitely be on the Xavier side here in this one. But, you know, for Pitt, their claim to fame is offense. And offensively, in their two tournament games, the play-in game against Mississippi State and the game against Iowa State, I know they jumped out to that big lead against the Cyclones, and it wound up being kind of insurmountable. But they have 0.964 and 0.953 points per possession on offense in their two games of this tournament. They had well over a point per possession in ACC play. They're a good offense. They're a suspect defense. They take on a Xavier team. It's really, really strong offensively. I like Xavier in this game. I couldn't get to lay in the five. I do think they advance. But, Michael, to your point on the total, I mean, this total has dropped about 7.5 points since it opened. So a lot of people expecting maybe a little bit lower scoring of a game here in Greensboro.
But we're speaking with Adam Burke, VSiN betting analyst. You can check out his work on VSiN.com, does the written content there, and also listen to him on the VSiN College Basketball Betting Podcast. Let's talk about totals, though, Adam, because we've seen totals. The under has been hitting, I believe, at a 76% clip so far through 3 days of the tournament. I'm looking at the board right now. Every game has been bet toward the under. At what point do you think that we get the regression and the over starts to come in?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, I think that it's tough to answer that because, you know, I was talking with John Goulet about this yesterday, our program director, when we were watching games. You know, it's great that you get upsets and it's great that you get some of these Cinderella stories and all that, but then you run into a situation where the teams in the Sweet 16 maybe aren't all that great offensively. So I don't know if we're going to see a big correction here in terms of totals. I think it's certainly possible. I think, you know, as I just talked about, you know, we've seen some games really get steamed heavy to the under today. At some point, that should come back. But, you know, I don't know. It's just been really bad three-point shooting pretty much throughout the tournament. That's usually a stat open to a lot of variance. If we get better three-point shooting in the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, we will get some overs. Maybe today is the day, but I think, to your point, it's a really fair question to ask. I think the biggest question is, why weren't we all just betting unders because we'd all be rich right now?
No doubt.
I might not be here if I was betting unders.
Yeah, that's right. How about Kentucky, Kansas State today? Is this the year Calipari gets himself to the Sweet 16, or do they stub their toe again?
Good question. You know, I mean, a lot of people do like Kentucky out there. This line has moved towards the Wildcats. They're up to a 2.5, 3-point favorite in this game. I really like Kansas State. You know, I kind of floated the idea in our college basketball betting guide for Kansas State about 75-1 to win the NCAA tournament. Not because I think they win it, but because I thought they had a chance to win that region. They're a very well-coached team. Jerome Tang's done an excellent job here so far this season. Kentucky, the talent is there. It's just a matter of whether or not it shows up. And that's been something that's kind of been challenging for them throughout the course of the season here. To me, I don't love Kentucky's shot selection. They don't take a lot of threes, even though they're pretty good at it. They don't get to the rim, even though they're the more athletic team in just about every game. I kind of like Kansas State a little bit in this one. It goes against the market view, but I think they're just, you know, battle-tested and have seen so many kinds of teams, good offensive rebounding teams, good defensive teams, teams that force turnovers. They've seen it all in the Big 12, so nothing really catches them off guard. I actually like Kansas State in this game today, despite the line move.
And you know what, Femi? So does KenPom. KenPom has Kansas State winning this by a point. So, you know, you're getting 2.5 if you take Kansas State. It seems like a pretty good number.
Yeah, Kentucky's been shaky all year. But I faded them with betting Providence the other night, and it didn't go well for me. So I think I might sit on the sidelines for this one here. How about Fairleigh Dickinson and Florida Atlantic? Adam, I know you keep tabs on all the small conferences all throughout the season. Fairleigh Dickinson, not even the best team in their own conference, but they made it because of a technicality that Merrimack hasn't been in Division I long enough, so they weren't eligible for the postseason. 16-1, obviously the upset was made. It was the biggest story from Friday night. Now they're 15.5-point dogs, turning around, taking on Florida Atlantic, who I know a lot of people like, total at 145. We only have one data point of a 16 now facing a team in the second round here in UMBC. They lost that game to Kansas State. Do you think FDU can keep this game close, or do they kind of get blown out after celebrating too hard, knocking off a one?
You know, look, I mean, I think obviously you have to give a lot of credit to Tobin Anderson and the job that he did as the head coach. And, you know, it kind of went viral about, you know, his, the more I watch Purdue, the more I think we can beat him comment. He's just a quality coach, I think, and does a lot here to maximize the talent that he has. With that being said, Florida Atlantic had the same thing all season long here with Dusty May, where, I mean, this is a team that really came out of nowhere in Conference USA to be ranked for the first time ever in program history, get their first NCAA tournament win in program history in very dramatic fashion. I think, you know, when you look at this one, I think the line at this point is probably run out a little bit too high, but I don't want to back the Knights because they made some really tough shots in that game against Purdue. Purdue is very poorly coached. Edie didn't have any points for, what, the last 7 minutes of the game. I just feel like, you know, at some point there will be a correction with Fairleigh Dickinson. It may happen in the second half of today's game, and it may be enough for the Owls to cover. I think this one's close for a while early, but Florida Atlantic's a really good team, and I think people kind of slept on them because of their draw against Memphis. So we'll see. I think the line's just too high, but I don't see another upset here for the 16, that's for sure.
Adam, we've seen Kansas go say goodbye. Arizona, number two seed, get eliminated. Virginia, if you were to recalibrate your brackets now today, who is your national champion?
Well, I mean, I had Houston. So, you know, I mean, Houston obviously struggled through the first half yesterday, but they fought through it and played maybe the best half of the tournament in the second half against Auburn. I still like Houston. I mean, obviously, I wish Sasser was healthy, but I still think that team is just, they're so good on both ends of the floor. They're very, very physical, elite offensive rebounding team. They can play against a lot of different styles and be just fine. I mean, obviously with the draw now, it's kind of easy to say you like Houston, but I that still would have been my pick if we kind of ran everything back here from the first round and the first day of the second round.
Adam, we've got about 45 seconds left. Is there anything for you in Miami and Indiana? The Hoosiers laying two, total 144.5.
Nothing for me in Miami. I got to play from Daytona Beach for the CBI, which you can check out over at vsin.com. But look, I think that's a really intriguing game because I kind of looked at it and I thought, you know what, if you're looking for an over on today's card, maybe that's the one because Miami is such a good offensive team. They have been all year long. The defense is a little bit shaky. And for Indiana, I'm just not in love with that team defensively either. So I do think that's possibly a game where we get quite a few points. Trace Jackson Davis just so good. That might be your over. I didn't bet it, but I think that's the one I would kind of key in on as possibly having a lot of points here today.
He is Adam Burke. Make sure you check out his analysis at vsin.com. He writes up all the college basketball stuff. He'll also be writing up some Major League Baseball stuff as well.
Oh,
and doing
baseball.
A baseball podcast.
Love that baseball.
So Adam will
who's
be busy
your best,
at work.
Who's your best over total for baseball, Adam?
Best over right now, Seattle Mariners.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, why didn't you ask that question, Femi? That was a layup right there for
Soto
you.
Soto Mojo, baby. Let's go, M's. Adam, thanks for the time, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good one.
How about that? Put a smile on my face with that one, man.
You like those Mariners, huh?
Maybe win the pennant? Many are asking. We'll talk about it on the other side. We'll actually talk to Thomas Gable as we talk some more college basketball. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get everything you need to bet the madness this year for only $19. Our team is here to get you ready for every game in every round of the tournament. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get unlimited access to our daily best bets and tools like our exclusive betting splits. Sign up today to get the betting guides plus full access to VSiN through the end of the tournament for only $19 at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. We're hanging out here on a Sunday morning ahead of 8 games on the college basketball slate. It's sad. The weekend's almost done.
Did you just sit there and watch the games?
I watched them at home.
Watch them at home?
And surprisingly, I did well. So maybe I need to stay away from all the people in the sports.
Let's find out how TG did because I have a feeling he did well too. Yeah. Thomas Gable, welcome to the show. How are you, TG?
Doing great, guys. How are you this morning?
We're good.
Doing
we're
fantastic.
Really good. How did you do? How did everybody at the book do there?
Yesterday was a really good day for us. We definitely held the best of the three days so far. A lot of action. So, I mean, the The mood overall, though, I think it was a little less energy yesterday than, I don't know, people were just hung over from St. Patrick's Day. But, I mean, they're still betting, but it just didn't seem as much energy in the building as it was on Friday. But, no, we made out very well yesterday. Even with one game off the board, that Princeton-Missouri game off the board, now we have another one off the board again today. With Fairleigh Dickinson, and now, and Princeton is just the gift that keeps on giving to us.
It's ridiculous. TG, it's so ridiculous that those games can't be on. I know that we voted for it, and the great state of New Jersey decided not to allow that to happen, which makes no sense at all.
As if people can't just drive over the state lines.
I mean, actually, the University of Pennsylvania is closer to Temple. Villanova is closer to TG than Farley Dickinson or Princeton.
It's insane.
So, like, yeah. It makes no sense. Like, you know, like, it's almost comical, but, you know, it is what it is. It's what we call the state of New Jersey. It's not logical. But, TG, were you surprised? were a lot of people on the Arkansas Razorbacks, or were Kansas getting most of the money there for you?
That game was pretty evenly split, so not a big decision on that one. When you run through it, Houston was a nice one for us. A lot of people were on Auburn, and why not? I mean, it was, we talked about it yesterday. Auburn basically was a home game for them. You could get 5.5 with them, and Houston looked like a wounded team coming in. You didn't really know what the status of Sasser was, what he was going to look like. Houston played probably their worst game of the season there in the opener against Northern Kentucky. So I wasn't surprised that we were taking as much Auburn money as we were. So Houston being able to come out there and put that game away in the second half and cover, that was a big one for us. We lost a little bit on Alabama. San Diego State covering there against Furman, that was a good one for us. And the Tennessee-Duke game really was just a very, very interesting game, because from a betting perspective, I mean, everyone and their mother was on Duke. I mean, that was such a public play yesterday. And we really just had a couple of groups that were betting Tennessee and betting Tennessee heavily. But to have Duke eliminated there in that spot for us was big, because they were our biggest liability in the futures pool. So getting them out, that was certainly a big one for us, having Tennessee advance there. And then the UCLA-Northwestern game, another one where, again, you saw some shark groups there taking the points with Northwestern. They got the money. Public was on UCLA in that one. So public went down again in that one.
We're speaking with Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. Yeah, I think the people weren't hungover. They were just losing money. That's why the mood was down over there at the Borgata. We'll see if they can get it back starting today as we turn our attention to today's games. We haven't spoken much about Creighton and Baylor. This is a really interesting game. Just saw a line movement I'm seeing across the board. Baylor, they were 1-point favorites, now just went to a pick 'em, total 144. Yep. How do you see this one playing out in Denver?
I actually make Creighton a 1-point favorite in this game. And when you look at Baylor, obviously they're a tremendous, tremendous offensive team. They struggle a little bit on the defensive side of things. And that's where I think Creighton is just a much more complete team on both sides of the ball. But you're going to have to slow down the 3-point shooting of Baylor. Now, one team that's had their number lately has been Iowa State. You know, Iowa State took it to Baylor two times there in a row. And I kind of equate this Creighton team defensively a little bit closer to Iowa State. Now, they're not as good defending the three as Iowa State, but they're very, very good defending inside the arc. I just think this Creighton team is they're good on both sides of the ball. So I'm not surprised that we're seeing some Creighton money here, and really across the broader market. Obviously, Creighton is also taking money.
TG, you know I love KenPom. You know I love this time of the year studying those KenPom numbers. So KenPom has Kansas State winning by a point over the Kentucky Wildcats, and you have Kentucky 2.5 favorite in the game. We have it here at 2.5 at BetMGM. So give us the breakdown on where you think this one's going to go.
Yeah, Kentucky's a 3-point favorite.
Wow.
Pretty much across the board. So, it's, you know, there's going to be some matchup problems for Kansas State in this one, I think. You know, are they going to be able to keep Oscar Tshiebwe off the boards here? Kentucky has the size advantage, and this has been a team who's been playing really well in the last month. I think, you know, some people maybe saw their exit there in the SEC tournament and backed off, but overall, this team really, in the month of February, going to March, has really been on a nice upswing. Kansas State will need to win this game by getting out in transition and not let this game be played in the half court. If this is a half court game, I think Kentucky's going to be able to handle them.
TG, what do you make of TCU and Gonzaga? The Bulldogs, a four-point favorite, total 153.5. We've been talking about, hey, maybe this is an advantageous spot for Gonzaga flying under the radar. Do you think that they can get past this kind of physical and tough-minded TCU team?
Yeah, you know, TCU trailed for the vast majority of their first-round game against Arizona State before coming back and pulling out the victory. Gonzaga had a pretty easy time with Grand Canyon. The question for this game is going to be, can Mike Miles keep this TCU offense humming enough to keep up with the Zags? This is the number one offense in the country. Now, TCU has a good defense, but their strength is defending the three. We know Gonzaga lives really inside the arc. They're a good three-point shooting team, but they're the number one inside the arc shooting at 58.9%. So in terms of the betting here, again, this is sort of a public play here on Gonzaga. We did see one of those groups we talked about yesterday. They've already come in on TCU taking the points here.
TCU and the points. How about UConn today? St. Mary's, great game, right? UConn, St. Mary's, yep. The winner gets Arkansas. We think KenPom has it as a one-point game. What are your thoughts on this one?
So the betting in this game is similar to what we saw with Duke and Tennessee yesterday. Not quite a split between public and pro, but it's close. We saw UConn come out in the second half of their first-round game and just take over and dominate. You know, today, St. Mary's, they've limited VCU to 51 points in their opening round game. Very low total in this one between two teams, and they play at a slow pace. They both have strong defenses. We've already seen the total drop a couple points from the opener. Not surprising with the pace of these two. But when you look at the betting on the side, again, the public is all over UConn in this one. Mm-hmm. Ticket splits not quite as dramatic as what we saw with Duke and Tennessee yesterday, but it's getting there. But again, sharp groups have jumped on St. Mary's at taking the 4.5. So pretty much right now you're seeing in this one fours across the board. Again, the groups got in there 4.5. So now pretty much everybody is on four as the number. But again, I think UConn is going to be the very public play here.
TG, we got about 40 seconds left. How are they betting Michigan State Marquette?
We see mostly Marquette money here, Femi. And again, 3.5 is where we are at. I think three, you know, we had to go 3.5. You know, we've just been having a lot of Marquette money. And again, I really like this Marquette team. You know, you have four Big East schools going today. So it'd be an amazing thing if all four of these teams could make it into the Sweet 16 for this conference. But yeah, Marquette is getting played here.
TG, real quick before we go, Ed Cooley, the next coach at Georgetown?
He's the number one target. We'll see if they can wrap up the deal this week.
Good.
He is Thomas Gable, race and sportsbook director over at the Borgata. TG, we appreciate the time. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Awesome stuff. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here hanging out at downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino, where it'll be happening later on this afternoon with the NCAA tournament. But before we get into that, let's give a quick update from the news that we saw in the breaking news in the NFL. Dallas Cowboys trading for Brandon Cooks, sending a fifth-round pick this year, a sixth-round pick next year to the Houston Texans for Cooks. So you haven't updated on the compensation, how they're going
to
work that out.
You know, I actually think they did a hell of a job, Houston, to get fifth and a sixth in this deal, which to me, you know, the Cowboys have given up a fifth for Gilmore and now another fifth and a sixth for Cooks. Two players that'll help, two players that'll obviously help their team if they stay healthy. And the Texans are going to pick up $6 million of the salary. Okay. So instead of paying $18 million, the Cowboys are going to pay $12. I'm sure they'll extend them, get a lower cap number, and they get a vertical outside receiver to go. And this will help CeeDee Lamb quite a bit. Yeah. You know, they've got skill now. I mean, with Gallup, it's going to be interesting what they do. Dalton Schultz's market. To two guys who were franchised last year, Gesicki and Schultz, both are out there on the market. Gesicki couldn't get a deal anywhere near his franchise number. Mm-hmm. And so he signs with New England on a one-year deal. Schultz is the same situation. He can't get anywhere near his deal. So I would assume he would go back to Dallas as well. And then if he's there, they've got a lot of offensive explosiveness.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that where are the playmakers? Because last year I felt like it was very CeeDee Lamb reliant.
Yeah.
For them to make explosive plays, it was Lamb and Pollard. Now you can add to that maybe Dallas.
And with Gallup a year back off the knee, I think he'll probably take another step forward. So look, they should be good, and Pollard's got to stay healthy. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted a back or added another back.
Yeah, maybe a Gallup. I don't think he trusted the knee this past year. He didn't look like he was trusting it. Was favoring that leg quite a bit there. Before we get on with our college basketball thoughts here, let's get to our pro tip, and it comes courtesy of our guest who we had in studio earlier this hour, Daniel Alvari, VSiN betting analyst. Make sure to check out all of her stuff. Phenomenal on TikTok. Does phenomenal stuff handicapping the men's and women's basketball tournament there. Always great to have Danielle on. And she talked about betting and waiting maybe for in-game because the lines this time of the year are so sharp.
Yeah.
We have so many data points that if you miss out on a number because it moves really quickly, you might be able to get one better on the in-game.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And, you know, it's funny, when we had TG on last segment, as you know, we do the show there Saturday and Sunday, so I get to spend a lot of time at the Borgata. I know a lot of the sharp bettors that live at the Borgata during football season, and I asked about one guy that I'm very close with. I said, how's my man doing? And TG said he took off. He's down in Florida because the lines, which supports what Danielle's saying, are too tight for him. So he doesn't see an advantage in the tournament where maybe when the game starts, you see that advantage, as Danielle points out here. So it's important. I mean, if guys are checking out of their hotel and they're no longer staying in residency at the Borgata because the lines are too good, then you might want to take Danielle's advice here and wait for this pro betting tip that we have here and let the games come to you.
Yeah, and that was something that I did yesterday in the Arkansas and Kansas game. It was in the second half, and it was right as they get to the under 16 timeout. So early in the second half, both teams have four fouls. I was like, oh, I'm going to bet this live over because this is going to be a parade to the free throw line. We're going to get teams into the bonus with about 10 minutes left. And it just got there. I got over 139. The game landed 143, which still went under the preflop total, but you could have middled it. You could have bet under preflop and then bet a live over and then win both bets there.
Yeah,
so
there you go. Yeah, I mean, I think you got to stay alert. And I think really, to me, those stats, as I said yesterday, this is why in-game betting for college basketball is better than before. You can kind of get a sense of what team is going to make the adjustments. And, you know, I mean, Houston has that. They're down 10, but you knew they didn't play well. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't anticipate that Auburn was only going to make two shots in the second half. But you could tell that Houston, once they could get – kind of get comfortable, they were going to make their comeback.
Yeah, Auburn was favored to win the game at halftime.
I know.
And then they made four more baskets the rest of the way. Hell of a job by Kelvin Sampson and his crew. All right, we got 5 minutes left in the show. Let's get to the games that are going to be happening today. Pitt Xavier is our first one. I have a play on this game, and I'm rolling with the Pitt Panthers.
Yeah.
And the theme that I have today is fading teams that I don't trust them defensively.
Yeah.
And well, Xavier,
you trust
I don't
Pitt
trust.
Defensively?
I don't trust Pitt defensively, but their favorites will give me those points. And I think that they can keep this game close because I don't think either team's going to be able to run away from the other one.
You know, but
I think
this is going to be back and forth affair. We said this in the break, and I think it's true. When you look at this game on the surface, you say it's got to go over. But I think the book has set the line of the over so high that everybody now is betting the under, and now they're starting to readjust that number. I think this is the perfect game to look at in-game betting and say, okay, are they shooting well from the three? Because as Adam Burke said earlier in the show, a lot of these teams are not making threes at a high rate. I mean, there's percentage, whether it's the rims, whether it's the comfortability with the arena, all that stuff makes it very challenging.
Yeah, to your point, this total has been bet down 8 points.
That's a lot of
NCAA tournament game.
I mean, they basically were trying to get you. They felt like the market was going to bet the over no matter what the number was.
Yeah, so everyone's going in on the other. Every game across the board has been bet toward the under, given the trend of unders going 76% through the first 3 days of the tournament. You could be living on an island if you just blindly bet the under in every single one of these games so far here. Then my only other play, I might add a little bit more here later on once we get through the afternoon, but my only other play right now is the nightcap game. I'm taking the points with TCU. I'm also taking the Horned Frogs on the money line.
Jamie Dixon's a good coach. I mean, I think Danielle's right. You play coaches in this tournament, and who can make adjustments? And, I mean, that's what made Bruce Pearl, to me, interesting, and he was favored. I don't think Kevin Sampson gets enough credit, but I think Dixon's a really good coach. But I kind of like, not that Mark Few's not. I'm not suggesting that
Few's
at all.
He's a good coach, yeah.
He's a good, this is be a good coaching game. But I just feel like the pressure of Gonzaga not having to carry the burden of their season, their regular season, has helped them along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they went through some ups and downs, which they typically don't do in season. Mm-hmm. And I think it's prepared them for this. And, you know, look, it's going to be a challenging game. I think the other one that's going to be fun to watch is UConn with Hurley and Bennett. I think that's another fun game to watch because UConn's playing really well right now. I mean, UConn is really playing well, and Arkansas awaits the winner of this game.
Yeah, I think that UConn-St. Mary's game, whoever comes out of that, it's going to be a fantastic game with Arkansas in the Sweet 16. UConn, they're just so big and strong. I would lean towards UConn, but hearing TG talk about how, hey, UConn's the public play.
And yeah, I know. Time,
it makes you a little concerned there that maybe the Gales
can pull
off.
UConn can win, but they might not win by 4.5.
Yeah, they might
not
cover.
I mean, that's what I think we lose sight of. Everybody's, you know, again, we're talking about how perfect these numbers have been set for the tournament. Yep. So, you know, when the public is on a number, you might want to go the other way.
I mean, think about last night with UCLA and Northwestern. I feel like the final 3 minutes, it was dancing around the number there, and then Northwestern sneaks right through there and covers, and UCLA goes ahead and advances. Michigan State and Marquette is another interesting one
game.
From a coaching standpoint.
Yeah.
You get Tom Izzo, who the month of March has been named after him.
Right.
And then you get Shaka Smart, who's made a run from the first four to the final four back with VCU. Now he has the Golden Eagles really humming along. I kind of lean towards Sparty. I know our Adam Burke, he likes Marquette in the game. He laid 2.5. It's now 3, even some spots 3.5. But there's something about Sparty in March, man. It's maybe a dumb reason to bet it's a team, and I haven't bet it yet. But if I were to bet the game, I think I'd go with Michigan State.
You know, the thing about this is you got to – Michigan State, they're just tough-minded. They're physical. Can they stop, you know, Kolick? Can they be able to handle the Marquette offense, which is sensational, right? I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. Execution by Marquette in their offensive sets, can they do that? And does Michigan State have enough talent to match him? I love the story of Marquette. I love how Shaka went there and you know, is at Texas, and it just wasn't the right
fit for him. No.
You know, I think that's part of college basketball too. Is it the right fit for your coaching style? And Marquette obviously is. So they're going to have to up their game defensively. I think that's going to be the key for Marquette, I think, to win this game.
They played much better defensively down the stretch, but I still felt that Vermont had some decent looks.
They weren't
knocking them down, and I thought they got discouraged.
I thought Vermont would have shot better in the game.
Same.
You know, I thought they would have shot much better in the game.
I bet them, and I was like, oh, there goes my money. See you later. But also on the Gonzaga front as well, I thought Grand Canyon got a lot of good looks, and then they didn't knock them down, especially in the second half. I think TCU can get some of those good looks. So Gonzaga and Marquette, I'm a little skeptical. I'm like, all right, maybe they tighten the screws defensively now that we're in the second round, but They were a little vulnerable in that first round. The other team just didn't knock down.
Yeah, I think
their
you got to get comfortable, right? I mean, yeah. You got used to playing in the arena. I think maybe the shooting will be better in this round as you go through it. But it's going to be a fun day to watch it, though.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch it. Thank you to our guests this morning, Ryan Wing, Daniel Alvari, Adam Berg, Thomas Gable, joining the show and making us
better. Tomorrow we got the Must Bus going to join us.
It's Must Bus on the way to Vegas, baby, and maybe to the Final Four. I'd love to see that. That does it for us here for Femi Bebefe, for Michael Lombardi, for our producer, Elliot Bowman. We wish you all the best of luck. The Handle, Dave Ross, Matt Brown, coming up next.